Turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Ephesians chapter 3 this morning. Well, thank you for praying for us, and we were on our trip, and thank you for all you do for us. Just the way you take care of my family and I is, man, it's awesome. We appreciate it. We really do. So, Ephesians chapter 3. Let me get there. I'm glad I missed the devotion last week. Talking about being lazy, man. I ain't want to hear that. You want to hear that? Nobody want to hear that about being lazy. And he backed it up with work this morning. Had to have a meeting with that boy. Find out what's going on. Ephesians chapter 3, two verses this morning, and it's a topical lesson, and we're just using these verses to pull a word out is what we're doing. So, Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 1, the Bible says, "For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles," he's locked up somewhere, right? That's why this is one of the prison epistles. He was in prison when he wrote it. Verse number 2 says, "If you have heard of a dispensation of a grace of God, which is given me to you." And that's a colon. That means that's going to continue on, but we just going to stop right there. And we're going to talk for a few minutes on the topic of dispensation. Brother A, you pray for us, brother. Dispensation, you get around some people, that is an ugly word. Right. You just want to talk about somebody's mom and talk about dispensation. Some people don't believe in it. Some of it, I think, they just don't know, right? It hadn't been told or ignorant. Some of it, and that's not an ugly word either. If you don't know something, you're just ignorant. Don't mean you're stupid or dumb. You're just ignorant, right? I was ignorant for a large part of my early Christian life, and it wasn't that I wasn't digging, wasn't looking. Just didn't have anyone to lead and guide me. So you had the Holy Ghost. Yeah, I had the Holy Ghost. I needed some instruction in righteousness is what I needed. So dispensation is simply put a way something is dispensed. You go back here to the bathroom, you wash your hands, that is a soap dispenser. And different kind of soap dispenser, right? There's kind you touch and there's a little tray with a bar of soap in it. Don't nobody use that anymore, man. That's nasty. There's too much Corona floating around, ain't it? We just went through the airport. You don't touch nothing in the airport. That's fine with me because, man, people nasty. I'm all over the world, sick. And there's dispensers. You just stick your hand under and automatically dispense the soap. But they all dispense something, even though they do it in different ways. And a biblical dispensation is simply a way that God chooses to dispense His grace. And I can tell you, it's all about His grace. If anybody makes heaven their home, it's because of the grace of God. Now, some dispensations have a faith works type salvation. The legal system, the law that God gave Moses, you had to have faith in God and keep those sacrifices. It was the deeds you had to do, but those deeds you were doing were not earning you heaven. It was the grace of God. So if anybody makes heaven their home, it's the grace of God. But God, throughout time, has chosen at different times to dispense His grace in different ways. And it's all God trying to reach a sinful man is what it is. If you're sitting here saved this morning, it's not because you all of a sudden woke up one day and discovered that you needed God. God was dealing with you. Book of Romans said there's none righteous, no, not one. There's none that seeketh after God. God, some way, some form or another, touched you and convicted your heart and reached out to you and just convicted you. And yeah, you may have begun to seek after God, but He initiated the move. And I'm not talking about some kind of Calvinistic foolishness that some people are going to be saved no matter what, and some people can't be saved. And it's just a biblical principle. God, in some way, form, or fashion, touched you and gave you a desire to seek Him. And thank God He can be found. He's not a God that cannot be found. If you seek Him, if any man seeks Him with a true heart, he can be found. So a dispensation, it's the way that God, throughout the history of mankind, has chosen to dispense His grace. Now I say this, apart from some kind of understanding of dispensations, you cannot understand the Bible. Someone who does not believe in dispensations, they cannot understand this Bible. Can it be saved? Absolutely. Salvation is placed in your faith in Jesus Christ and His atoning work on the cross of Calvary. That's salvation. For by grace through faith are you saved. You can be saved, but I'm talking about understanding this Bible, understanding how God wants you to live, understanding what God wants out of your life. Apart from dispensations, you just can't please God like He wants you to. I heard a lady one time, she told me she was full gospel. She believed all of it from end to amen. That sounds pretty good, don't it? She was an old lady. I loved her. Her name was Miss Daisy. Man, she was a sweet lady. She said they was going somewhere one time, and she said the car got to acting up, and she told them to pull into the gas station. They pulled into the gas station, they popped the hood, and there was a hole in the motor, and all the oil was leaked out. And she said, I believe the Bible. I believe God parted the seas. I believe God can work miracles. She said, I told them to go in and get me some oil. And they went inside and said, there ain't no motor oil. She said, get me some cooking oil. And they got her some cooking oil, and she poured that cooking oil in the motor, and that hole just closed up, and they went on down the road. That's not understanding, right? She was a sweet lady. And I know God can still work miracles and God can do things. But God chose to work at different ways throughout different times in history. And you have to understand that. And dispensations is a large part of that. And the first I want to show you, if you talk to someone that doesn't believe in dispensations, this is one of the verses they'll throw at you. Turn to Malachi 3:6. I got Micah there here in my notes, but don't turn to Micah 3:6. It's probably a good one too, but we want Malachi 3:6. Last book in your Old Testament. Last book in your Old Testament is the book of Malachi. The Bible says, last book in your Old Testament, Malachi, chapter 3, verse number 6. Bible says, for I am the Lord, I change not. Therefore, ye sons of Jacob are not consumed. And someone that doesn't believe in dispensations will say, well, the Bible says the Lord don't change. And if He changed the way He does things with people, then He changed. God don't change. God always has been, and He always will be. The attributes of God have never changed, will never change, cannot change. He's God. He always has been a just God. He always will be a just God. But when He changed dispensations, when He changed from the dispensation of the law to the dispensation of grace, guess what? He's still a just God. He's still holy and He's still righteous and He's still true. He didn't change. He changes His dealings with men, but He Himself never changed. But that's one of the verses, or the verse, that they'll throw at you. Old Testament to New Testament. Was there a change? Jesus said this is the New Testament, talking about His blood. The Bible says that the old one was perfect in the book of Hebrews, there wouldn't have been a need for a New Testament. Change, right? Law through most of the Old Testament, most of the content anyway, most of the content of the Old Testament of your Bible, salvation was under the dispensation of the law. You had to have faith in God and you had to keep those sacrifices. When you failed in the law, you had to offer sacrifice for your sin, and if you didn't do one or the other, you were not going to paradise, you were going to hell. Jesus Christ came on the scene. He hung on the cross, He shed His blood, He raised the third day, and now when you believe on Jesus Christ, you are saved. That's salvation. You know what that is? That's a change. That's a change. Jesus Christ was the end of the law for righteousness, the book of Romans says. That's a change, right? Different dispensations. Let me tell you this. If it's in the Bible, it's a doctrine, it's rightly divided, you don't have to be afraid of it.
That's right.
You just don't.
That's right.
Some people are afraid of eternal security. In your mind, when you tell someone if you trusted Jesus Christ for your salvation, you're born again and there's nothing you can do to go to hell, that sets bells off in the human mind. It don't sound right, does it? Because our mind doesn't work like that, right? If it's a doctrine, it's okay. And we understand once we're saved, that soul is cut loose from the body. It's sealed by the Holy Spirit of God. And that soul, what you are eternally, can never be touched with sin again. And your flesh can touch sin, but your soul can't. And it's all in the Bible. But some people get those alarm bells in their head that doesn't sound right. And it sounds like pride. It sounds almost like it's blasphemy against God. If it's a Bible doctrine, in this King James Bible, is God's doctrine. It's not our doctrine. And you don't have to be afraid of it. Dispensations. Look at Ephesians chapter 3 and verse number 2. The Bible says, if you have heard of Ephesians 3 and 2, says, if you have heard of a dispensation of a grace of God which is given me to you. Now first off, let me say a dispensation is not a period of time. That's not the dispensation of a definition. Do they have beginnings? Yes. Do they have endings? Yes. But a period of time is nothing but a way to measure something. 2020, Corona here, right? If Corona hit in 2019, guess what? The year wouldn't have made a difference. The content of a dispensation is not by definition a period of time. A dispensation is the way God chooses to dispense His grace. Will it have a beginning? Yes. Will it have an ending? Eternity won't. It's going to go on for eternity. Amen. But the other dispensations, they have a beginning, they have an ending. Look what it says. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, you ever heard of a time period called God? Don't make sense, does it? This dispensation of the grace of God is not a time period. It's the way God chooses to dispense His grace. Another thing I want us to see, look what Paul said. If you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me. It was this dispensation was given to Paul to take to the world. It wasn't Paul's idea. Paul was called to be an apostle to the Gentiles. This dispensation, this new idea, because that's what it was. New thing. Throughout all of history, salvation was different things, and now it was simply placing your faith in the atoning work of Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God. It was given to Paul. It was not his idea. It was not given to him to bestow grace upon who he chose. Look down at verse number 9. Paul said what he was called to do. Look at verse 8. But to me who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God who created all things by Jesus Christ. It was given to Paul. It was not his idea. And it was given to Paul that he could preach it. The prophets were until John. And after this, the kingdom of God is preached. That's what it is today in this dispensation, is preaching. We've seen a limousine one time. That thing's about 50 foot long, man. It was a nice limousine. And we seen it at Society Hill. Oh, they probably got a ticket down there. They probably give them a ticket. And on the front of that big old thing, it had a big old tag, and that thing said Apostle. I told my wife, I said, I wonder which one that was. John or James. Can't be an apostle now. There are qualifications for being an apostle. Acts chapter 1 said that you had to walk with them in the ministry and see Jesus in the flesh. That's over with. You can't be an apostle. No prophets today, man. You may say some things that may come to pass, but you're throwing darts like everybody else. The book is preached. The prophecies we need to hear and know are in this book. That's what it is now. It's not about apostles. It's not about prophets. It's about preaching this book. Do we sing? Yeah, man, we love to sing. Aaron loves to sing. He'll sing you to death if you let him. And that's good. Sing the hymns, right? The spiritual songs. The Bible speaks about that. But the focus of this ministry, the focus of our ministry should be the preaching and teaching of the Word of God, because that's the final authority. That's the chalk line. That's the plumb line, this book. And so Paul, he was given this and he was told to go preach it. Turn to Colossians chapter 1 with me. It says Colossians is the companion book with Ephesians, just like Galatians is the companion book with the book of Romans. Ephesians speaks of the body of the head. Colossians speaks of the head of the body. Look at Colossians chapter 1. Look at verse number 25. Paul said, whereof I am made a minister, according to the dispensation of God, which is given to me for you to fulfill the word of God. And he goes on. Paul said he was made a minister. What do ministers do? Ministers minister. Jesus Christ said he came not to be ministered to, but to minister. That's what pastors do. They minister. They preach. They meet the spiritual needs of the flock. We are all in some way, form or another, a minister with your family, with your co-workers. When you go out in this old world, you hand someone a gospel tract, in some way you are ministering to them, trying to give them the gospel of the grace of God. We're all ministers. Ma'am, God ain't called you to preach, but he called you to be a minister. Children. You know, children can minister better than adults sometimes. You get an old, mean, crusty, hateful daddy, he probably ain't going to listen to you. But that grand young will crawl up in his lap and tell him about Jesus, tell him about Noah, and he probably hating that thing on the inside, but he's grinning on the outside because that's baby. They can minister many times better than what adults can. So here Paul was. He was called to be a minister. And I broke this lesson up into at least two lessons. We're going to lay a foundation today. I didn't want to try to jam it all in. So we might have a little short lesson this Sunday and a little short lesson next Sunday to finish up. But now here's the question. How many dispensations are there? I'm hoping somebody will tell me. Amen. Good men differ, right? If you study much and you look at it, good men differ. You can't get by with less than seven. You can't get by with less than 7 dispensations, or else you just cut something out. And a lot of people change with the 7. I heard a preacher tell me this one time. He asked if I believe in dispensation. I said, absolutely. He said, well, I believe it's 7 because that's the number of completion. You know what? There's something to numerology.
Yes, sir.
It just is.
Yes,
right. Right? But we don't build our doctrine by starting with numerology. We build our doctrine by starting with the book, and when numerology backs up our doctrine, as Bible teaches, hallelujah. But you don't get the cart before the horse if you don't get nowhere, right? I am going to teach 8 dispensations plus eternity. You can call it 9. Dr. Ruffman says there's 12. You know what? He's probably right. But around the Gospels, he's got dispensations in the book of Acts, and we know those are transition books, right? Transition from the Old Testament to the New Testament. They're transition books, transitioning from the law to the gospel, the grace of God, through the book of Acts, the church age. It's probably right. I can't slice the pie that fine. If I did, I'd be said something ain't so. But I'm going to teach in this lesson that there are 9. We're going to briefly go through each of them. And you know what? We need to know them. But whether you know all of them or not, if you understand there is such a thing as a dispensation, and this is the way God chooses to dispense His grace, you understand the basics between a faith work type salvation and a salvation in this church age as we see it today, that salvation is by grace through faith, that'll get you a long way down the road. But we're going to go through each one of them and talk about one of them briefly. We're going to spend a little more time on the first one. The first one is called the dispensation of innocence. And it began when God created Adam, and then He created Eve in the garden. And we know they were created, they were without sin. Without sin, God created them. They were perfect. They were placed in the garden to try to see if man would maintain his innocence. Turn to Genesis chapter 1 with me. Genesis chapter number 1. The first dispensation is the dispensation of innocence. Adam and Eve in the garden before the fall had never sinned. I've heard they even look different. That they look shiny like light. I've seen some scriptures on that. There may be something to that. But we have Adam, we have Eve, they're created in the image of God. You and I are created in the image of Adam. You see that in the book of Genesis. So-and-so begat so-and-so after in his image, and so-and-so begat. In the beginning, they were created in the image of God. They were sinless. Look at Genesis 1. Look at verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. So this is both of them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. So here we have the dispensation of innocence. God created man and woman. He placed them in the garden, and they have dominion. Adam is the most one that is. You say, well, that's the way man is now. You ever heard of a great white shark? He will bite your face off. Bite it off, man. We ain't got dominion anymore. We may be running the show, right? And we have an elect, and we're God's special creation. But here Adam was in the garden. He had dominion, the Bible says. But the thing about dispensations, they all end in apostasy. God is working with man and trying to reach man and trying to reconcile man to himself. The thing about man is basically in his heart what he is wicked. Paul said, no good thing dwells in this flesh. And if no good thing dwells in his, it don't dwell in yours either. Now the world looks at that thing differently. The world said man is basically good. Man is evil and wicked. And given enough rope, he'll always hang himself. Amen. So, dispensation of innocence. Man's in the garden. He's got dominion. But he failed. Turn to Genesis 3. You know, God gave Adam and Eve everything. He only held one little bitty thing from them. And that's the thing they fell in. Like a child, man. You can put 400 toys down in the floor. And if you set one to the side and tell that child he cannot have that toy, ha ha! He is going to break his neck trying to get that toy. Why? Because it's just like his daddy and his mama. That's why. Just like Adam and Eve. That's why. Next time you beat the young and think about that, it's your fault. Ain't their fault, amen? Look at Genesis 3. Look at verse number 22. So, Eve partook of the fruit, gave it to Adam. The Bible says, and the Lord God said, behold, the man has become as one of us to know good and evil, and now, lest he put forth his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore, the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Man's sin, the dispensation of innocence ended. He was cast from the garden. This dispensation ended in apostasy. Perfect people. Two of them. Not a mob. You get a mob together, they're going to storm the Capitol, man. They're talking to one another and what we can do, and some dude with horns on his hat, next thing you know, they're inside the Capitol building, man. You get a mob, the crowd's almost always wrong. You see some mobs and crowds in the Bible, they ain't never doing the right thing, man. Two people, perfect people, sinless, made in the likeness and image of God, and they sinned and fell. End of that dispensation. Now, I want to show you this too. And I believe I can show you this, and some of them you might say it's a little bit sketchy, but I believe it's there. I personally believe God shows up at the end of every dispensation himself. Look at Genesis chapter 3. Look at verse number 8 with me. Genesis 3 and 8. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. Here they are, they sinned, they've done wrong, this dispensation is about to end, and God shows up in the garden. Look at verse number 21 with me. The Bible says, unto Adam also, unto his wife, did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothing. That's a picture of blood atonement. He didn't unzip them furs off of little bunny Fifi, something died, amen. Picture of blood atonement. Who did it? God did it. God showed up at the end of this dispensation. Now I want to talk a little bit, and this is important, and it's kind of a kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God thing, and I'm not going to get too deep into that. I'll let the pastor handle that. I'll throw it out there now, amen. But it is important. Because these dispensations throughout time is God trying to store His kingdom trying to store he had with Adam at the beginning. God wants fellowship with man. That's what he wanted. We're his special creation. And you say, why is that? You can't have a special relationship with a toaster. And if all something does is what it's been programmed to do, you know what? You can't love a toaster. You say you can. Oh, I love that toaster. You ain't love that toaster. But when something can love you back, that's special, isn't it? And God made man a special creation where he can love him and fellowship with him because man can love him back, and that's what he wants. And we're going to get down to eternity, and that's what it's going to be, man. Throughout eternity, us worshiping and loving and serving God Almighty. So this dispensation, man had perfect dominion. The lion won't eat the lamb. You find that in the book of Isaiah. That's going to be restored during the millennium. They're going to lay down together and the lion is no longer going to eat the lamb. Don't put your lamb in with your lion. Keep them dudes separate. If you love your lamb, keep him away from your lion. Because he's going to eat him. But in this dispensation, man had perfect dominion. God's will was done on earth as it was in heaven. That's a simple prayer, right? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Kingdom of heaven, kingdom of God, life in you. It's a difference, right? Some people don't discern that in your Bible. That's rightly divided in your Bible. The kingdom of God, life in you, it's a spiritual thing. The kingdom of heaven, it is a real place. And when Jesus Christ comes back to rule and reign during the millennium, which is a dispensation, by the way, that's what it's going to be. God's will is going to be done. He's going to sit on the throne of David in Jerusalem. He's going to rule with a rod of iron. And if anybody bows up, they're going to be cast into hell. And you're going to be able to see it according to Isaiah 66. And you say, well, if you can see it, why would you rebel against Jesus Christ? Because men are men. Amen. So here we see God's will was done on earth as it is in heaven. And then man sinned. Sin, transgressed against God. That's what sin is. The rest of the Bible, the dispensations up to the resurrection, is God working with man to restore his kingdom on earth. And he called men throughout. He called Abraham. He was part of it. And he called men throughout trying to restore his kingdom, his relationship, his fellowship with men. That's what the dispensations are. This is important. And understanding dispensations is this God trying to reach men. Giving him another chance. Giving him another choice. Giving him another way. And you say, well, why didn't he just kill Adam and Eve? What with two people? What with two? What 200 or 2 million? Why didn't he just kill him and start over? Why didn't he kill you and start over? Why didn't he kill Brother James and start over? Could he have done that? Man, he's God. I expect as long as it don't go against this book, he can do whatever he chooses to do. But he loved Adam and Eve that much. And I thank God he did. So here we see, when Adam sinned, he abdicated the throne. Gave up that throne, gave up dominion that he had, that God had given him. He gave up his right to rule, to have that dominion through the sin. And a usurper took the throne. That usurper is Satan. He is, 2 Corinthians 4 and 4, he is the what of this world. He's the God of this world. Not the big G. That ain't the one. Satan is the little g god of this world. Is what he is. And he's causing trouble. And he's tearing things up, and he's leading people astray, and thank God Jesus Christ is still saving souls. But when Adam sinned, he gave up his right to the throne, his right to rule. Turn to Romans chapter 5 with me. Romans chapter 5. Let's go through a couple of scriptures and maybe help tie this thing together a little bit. Romans chapter 5. This is speaking about the law and how even before the law, people sinned and died. Look at Romans chapter 5. Look at verse number 12. The Bible says, "Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin." You know why you die? Because of sin. All is sin and comes short of the glory of God. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. That's a pretty plain statement, isn't it? Look what it says, verse 13. "For until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over them that had not sinned against the similitude of Adam's transgression, who is the figure of him that is to come." So from Adam until the law, men sinned and died and reigned. And after the law, we know death continued to reign. Well, how do you know death's reigning? Because you're going to die. You're going to get sicker, and you get older, and you're going to die, or you're going to have an accident. Last time I checked, 100 out of 100 people died. I ain't never seen a poll on that, but maybe the media don't want to talk about that. I think they want to believe that we can get good enough and science can get enough vaccines and medicines that somehow we can stop death. You ain't never going to stop death. It is going to come knocking on your door. It's going to come knocking on my door. Man, since I got this corona thing, I've been so stinking tired. Just lay me down and die. I'm just tired, man. Death reigns. Death had dominion after Adam, and it's still reigning. Turn to Hebrews chapter 2 with me. Hebrews chapter number 2. Let's look at another couple of verses. Right before the book of James, you'll find the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 2. Look at verse number 14. Bible says, "Forasmuch then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil. The thief cometh but for to kill, to steal, and destroy." Adam lost his right to the dominion. He lost his right to the throne. The devil took over. Death took over the God of this world. You know what the devil wants to do? He wants to take everybody he can in this world to hell with him. But God, throughout the history of mankind, has been making ways and giving to man ways that they might escape eternal damnation and spend eternity with him. One more verse, we're going to be done. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. This is the resurrection chapter, amen. You want to know something about the resurrection? Most of the time, this is the first place you go. 1 Corinthians 15. Look at verse number 24. 1 Corinthians 15, 24, the Bible says, "Then cometh the end when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father. When he shall have put down all rule and all authority and power. For he must reign till he hath put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is dead. The last enemy. But what's going to happen right up to the very end before eternity starts? People are going to die. The last thing that happens before we go to eternity is Satan is released from that pit he's been encased in two men for 1,000 years, and the world is going to be deceived, and the world is going to come against Jesus Christ and His people, and they're all going to be destroyed and die. Then eternity begins. Now, what's your point? My point is, throughout these dispensations, we're going to go through the Bible, that is God, a holy, righteous God, trying to reach a sinful man and reconcile that man to himself and restore what God and Adam had in the book of Genesis in the beginning. That's what God wants. You know why we preach the gospel? That people might be saved and reconciled to God. You know why you give out gospel tracts? That people might be saved and be reconciled to God. You know why you do what you do with your children, and you beat them and you whip them and you make them sit down and you make them listen, hoping that somewhere down the line they're going to pick something up and God's going to touch that little heart and convict that heart that they might be saved and reconciled to God? That's what it's about. That's what this dispensation is all about. God dispensing His grace throughout the ages to man. We're going to go through them and see, and we're going to see the differences, and we're going to see where we stand today. You know, thank God for understanding about dispensation of the law. But you need to understand what dispensation we're in now, that people might be saved and go home to heaven. Brother Joe, you close us.
Heavenly Father, we want to thank you for your word. Thank you for your name.